First, the NFL's 2022 season kicks off tonight with the Los Angeles Rams playing the Buffalo Bills, and the Arizona Cardinals open up on Sunday when they host the Kansas City Chiefs. Both the Cardinals and Chiefs will start African-American quarterbacks, and 13 of the league's 32 teams will start people of color at that position in Week 1. That's a percentage that would have been impossible even a decade or two ago, when many NFL executives questioned whether African-Americans had the intelligence and leadership skills to be starting quarterbacks. And to some, the recent controversy over a study clause in Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray's new contract indicated that some in the league still feel that way. Journalist Jason Reed recently wrote about the NFL and African-American quarterbacks in his book, Rise of the Black Quarterback, What It Means for America, and he's with me. Jason, was it fair to criticize the Cardinals' inclusion of a study clause in Kyler Murray's contract? Did that reinforce a negative stereotype indicating that Murray lacked the intelligence to play quarterback?
The effect of it was to put Kyler Murray in a situation that many black quarterbacks in the past were in, where they were viewed to be simply not smart enough, not intellectual enough to handle the rigors of the position. And part of that goes to the off-the-field studying. I want to be very clear in this and making the distinction. I do believe that was the effect of what the Cardinals did. I don't believe that was the intention. The Cardinals guaranteed Kyler the second biggest contract in the history of the NFL. It makes no sense to guarantee someone $160 million for injury and $105 million at signing if you are not all in on that player. The best possible spin I can put on this independent study addendum was that, generally speaking, the Cardinals were fine with Kyler's off-the-field study habits when he was under his rookie contract. But with them making him the second highest paid player in terms of a guaranteed contract in the history of the game, I think, yeah, there were people in that building who had sway over his contract who were like, hey, we'd like him to put in more time to maximize his ability. And that was totally within the Cardinals' rights to ask Kyler to maybe do a little bit more in terms of some of the things that they want to see from him when they're making him that type of guarantee. It was a monumental, colossal mistake for them to put that language in the contract. That's something that you talk to Kyle and his agent about privately, because anything you put in the contract can potentially come out. And what it did, what it only served to do was embarrass Kyler, embarrass the organization. And for people who want to hold on to those racist, outdated beliefs about the intellect of, well, just of black people, it gives them something to cling to say, hey, you see, even the Cardinals, despite giving him all this money, he's a black guy. So, yeah, you know, they have to get him to study.
Kyler Murray is going to be one of a dozen black quarterbacks starting in the NFL in Week 1. Does that indicate to you that there has been much more of a grasp of, let's put the player on the field who gives us the best chance to win? Is this about NFL owners are so focused on making money, you know, we need to have the best person out there? Is there still racism when it comes to who's going to lead a team these days?
What really happened here was the color green trumped black. I think your second point was about the money. And once these team owners saw that these black quarterbacks could actually not just be okay, but could be superstars and help them make money, the outlook on the African-American quarterback of the NFL changed. I even, you know, want to take it a little deeper. Team executives, general managers, player personnel officials, coaches, the pressure to win in the NFL is so palpable, because team owners will get rid of you if you don't win. I mean, it's just the way it is. So from a self-preservation standpoint, these executives and coaches, they could not overlook anybody once the money in the league got to be so big. They could not overlook anyone who could help them win. And, you know, people like to point to that seminal performance by Doug Williams back in 87, the quarterback who was then of the Washington Redskins was the team's name then, when they crushed the Denver Broncos in the Super Bowl. Williams became the first black quarterback to start in the game and win the game's MVP award. And that was a seminal moment. I won't dispute that at all. But what really got the ball rolling on this was Warren Moon. He comes from Canada after not getting drafted in the NFL, and he starts lighting it up. You have Randall Cunningham in Philadelphia. He's a second-round draft pick of the Philadelphia Eagles. He starts to light up, gets the moniker, the ultimate weapon, because the NFL had never seen the likes of this guy. He could throw the ball 80 yards and outrun defensive backs. So once we start getting into the late 80s, the early 1990s, and the league, these team owners see that there are black quarterbacks who are not just guys, but have superstar potential, we see that the outlook really changed. And, you know, I'll tell you, we are now in the era of the black quarterback. You know, you mentioned that there are going to be 13 either black or ethnic minorities who are starting at quarterback in week one, predominantly among those group of black quarterbacks. You're going to see more and more superstar black quarterbacks in this league. And I say that because just turn on college football now. At the traditional powers, the Ohio States, the Alabamas, the USCs, all led by superstar black quarterbacks or black quarterbacks who are perceived to have superstar potential. The pipeline from youth football to high school to college, we're in a time right now where in another 5 to 8 years, it would not be surprising at all if there were between 12 to 16 superstar black quarterbacks among the 32 NFL teams.
Is there less ignorance generally when it comes to these sorts of questions? And are we seeing more people of color even covering the games? Does that matter in any way?
Well, listen, representation matters. So yes, the fact that there are more people of color, more black sports writers and sportscasters and to a lesser degree, sports executives who make decisions about what gets shown and how stories are told, that clearly helps. I said previously, we are in the best time ever to be a black quarterback at any level of football, but racism has not been eradicated in the country, obviously. And so it would stand to reason that in subsets of the country and things like professional sports, we're going to still see racism. And Patrick Mahomes, a great quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, recently addressed the situation with Kyler Murray. And, you know, what he said, and I'm paraphrasing here, but effectively what he said was that black quarterbacks have had to fight to get to this point. And, you know, we've proven we should have been here all along. But even today, some of the criticism about us doesn't sound like it does about some people who don't look like us. Patrick Mahomes has been a league MVP. He's been a Super Bowl champion, a Super Bowl MVP. For him to say that, I just thought it was very significant because it resonated with him even at this point that, hey, there's still a ways to go.
That is Jason Reed. His new book is The Rise of the Black Quarterback, What It Means for America. Jason, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you for having me.